The reading today is selected verses from the book of Romans, chapter 8. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
All right. What then are we to say about these things? I often feel like that when I read the writings of the Apostle Paul. Or maybe it's more like, what did he just say? Paul is complex, to say the least. My final exam essay question at the end of a whole year of New Testament studies in divinity school was, is Paul a theologian or a pastor? Yes, said Hal. You can argue both sides. And I choose to think of him as a pastor first. Maybe that's because that's what I am. A pastor doing and discovering theology for and with the new Christians that he is working with that are from such a wide variety of different cultural settings. So that's what we do. Perhaps we learned a lot in divinity school, but we only learned enough to know that we have a whole lot more questions. And as we work in the church, theology unfolds, the study of God, the relationship with God. And we do that in relationship with you, for you are all theologians as well. Studying, loving, questioning, relating to God. Paul was a new church start pastor, and he worked across the divides of religious and economic and ethnic cultures. He had a tough job. So I think of him as a pastor first, not as a theologian writing down a textbook of systematic theology addressing all the doctrines of the ages. He was responding to real people in the midst of where they lived. and they lived in tough times. What then are we to say about this passage from the Apostle Paul that we just heard? Well, we could do at least a 6-week Bible study on Romans chapter 8. And we have only 12 minutes left to explore this half of the chapter. So why did I even choose this text? Why did it choose me for this particularly nerve-wracking sermon on this particular day? I did try to pretend most of the week that I was just writing a regular sermon for a regular Sunday, but the stakes do seem a bit higher today. And perhaps that's why I chose this text. We live in a time when the stakes of love and justice are high and getting higher every day in our community, in our nation, as well as in our world. Paul lived in an age when the stakes of love and justice were very high for him and these new followers of Jesus. They were very often oppressed and persecuted. There's an urgency in his writing to the church in Rome that is an urgency I feel in our times. And I know you feel it too. A sense of what then are we to say about love and justice, about good health care for all, about the treatment of our transgender brothers and sisters, about the deportation of law-abiding immigrants who have years of families and jobs and homes and paying taxes, even if they don't have the correct legal papers. What then are we to say about making peace and not war in this world? About the loss of civility in public discourse, about the healing of our environment and the climate, about, you could fill in the blank, we could go on and on. The stakes are high. What then are we to say and do that makes a difference? I know that many, if not all of you, wonder this daily, even as you are already in the midst of the saying and the doing of so many good things. Paul says that the sufferings of his time are not worth comparing to the glory about to be revealed. I wonder how the Romans felt about that, because it seems an outlandish statement in any day and age. And we see it contradicted time after time in our daily news cycle. But Paul makes bold to say that the whole of creation, including humanity, and particularly those who believe in the redeeming power of God in Christ, groan with labor pains as we await with hope God's redemption and transformation of the world. We are in a birthing process. We hope not in what we already see. And much of what we see is suffering, I know. But we hope in what we do not see. And Paul says we wait for it in patience. It's really hard to be patient. Human beings are impatient in any age, in any time. Here at Plymouth, we are impatient for the justice and the love of God to take shape in our world. And yet Paul goes on and says to the church in Rome and to us that we wait with patience because the Spirit of God is praying through us. Even in our impatience, our uncertainty, and sometimes in the overwhelming feeling of powerlessness that comes. The Spirit of God intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. That's what I want. That's what I want to hope when I am overwhelmed and impatient. So lately I've been trying to practice letting go and allowing the Spirit of God into my mind, into my body, into my heart and soul. When I feel stuck, when I think it will never all get done, when I berate myself for not doing enough, particularly for justice and love, I am practicing pause and taking a deep breath. I literally imagine opening my whole self, beginning with the top of my head and the soles of my feet, to the love of God and the work of the Spirit. I want you to try that with me right now. Take a deep breath. If you're not comfortable, get comfortable in your seat. You might want to put your feet on the floor. Close your eyes for just a moment. And out of that deep breath, imagine that you are opening. Maybe it's the top of your head. Maybe it's your chest where your heart is. Maybe it's your gut where your instinct lives. Maybe it's coming from the soles of the feet, from the earth. Imagine that you are opening to the Spirit of God moving through you. And just like that mustard seed, it is not imagination. It's not pretend. It's happening. When you are ready, you may open your eyes, or maybe you keep them closed for the rest of the sermon. Just don't go to sleep. I find that I sometimes practice this most effectively, believe it or not, in my spinning classes at the gym. That's stationary bicycles. When it is the very hardest to keep going, when I'm panting at the top of my heart rate range, when my legs are burning, I begin to open myself to the Spirit. I offer myself up to being and listening. I offer up people, situations, events that baffle me, that I have no idea how to help. I just try to be open and be with God. The other day after spinning class, I took off my sweaty t-shirt and I looked at the back of it. There was a quote. "The task before us is no greater than the power behind us." The Spirit works in mysterious ways. The task before us is no greater than the power behind us or within us. I had forgotten what this t-shirt said and that it was lovingly given to me by a parishioner after my divorce in about 2005. The task before us is no greater than the power behind us. I think this is part of what Paul is trying to tell us in this passage. Paul says that the Spirit empowers us in our prayer, in our hope, in our faith, even when and especially when we think we can go no further. The Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And what is this mysterious will of God, according to Paul, in this passage? It is the redemption, the ultimate wholeness in God's love of all creation, of the universe, including human beings and human communities. This is God's will. For and behind all creation. This is the destiny of all creation, All creation is made to be whole. It is made by God to be whole. It is predestined. Which does not mean I take on the authority of the New Testament scholar Paul Ochtemeyer, does not mean that God chooses only special folks ahead of time to be redeemed. That's not what Paul means here. What Paul means is that creation's destiny is already destined. In fact, it's accomplished because of the work of God in Jesus the Christ. All creation is groaning in labor pains to bring to birth God's wholeness of justice and love. This is what we know in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And this is why Paul makes another of his outlandish statements. So all things work together for the good of those who love God. We know by experience in life that not all things are good. We experience tragedy and disease and loss and death. We make wrong choices. We get caught up in separating ourselves from God's love. God does not give us hardship like a punitive bully to see how we will stand up to pain. Instead, God's spirit of redemption and transformation is always at work within us, within all we experience, within all we cause to happen in this world as finite human beings. No matter what is happening, spirit is working to bring about God's original intention, the ultimate wholeness of creation, a community of each of one of us as God's beloved children. God co-creates with us, working, I know, in my life, in spite of us, in spite of me at times, in ways that we will never know. This is how all things work together for good, for those who love God. What then can we say about these things, asked Paul rhetorically. If God is always working for our wholeness in justice and love as the destiny of all creation, then who can be against us? If God has given us Jesus the Christ as the model of action, as well as our companion in our work for love and justice, and has conquered and defeated death in Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, then who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who is to condemn us? Not only does the Spirit pray for us and within us and all creation, but Jesus intercedes for us. Who then will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through the one who loved and who loves us. And this is why I let this text choose me this week. I need to know, and I passionately want you to know as my partners in ministry, that God holds the final say on all the suffering in the world. God's say is that love and justice and wholeness are God's ways. God's power of love has conquered death and separation from God through Jesus the Christ. And so the task before us, as we co-create with God, the task before us, whatever it may be, is never as great as the power of God behind, within, and among us. And despite suffering, that is glorious. Plymouth, as we head into the future of our ministry together, building the radically inclusive, just, and loving realm of God here in Fort Collins, we are going to continue to encounter suffering and frustration and doubt. But we are not building God's realm on our own power. We are building it through the power of God's love, empowered by God's Spirit praying through us. We are that mustard seed in whom there is that secret of power that can grow into a bush that shelters and gives life to so many. What then shall we say? I believe we can say together with Paul, we are convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And when the stakes are high, that makes all the difference. Amen.